This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Mass Bay Guides. Mass Bay Guides is our family-run charter fishing fleet that's based out of Scituate, Massachusetts. We've been providing anglers with the ultimate fishing adventure for over 20 years. Whether you're looking to put together a multi-boat corporate fishing trip, a trip for your family, or you're an avid angler looking to catch a giant bluefin tuna, our crew will do anything it takes to make sure you and your friends and your family have a great day on the water. To book a trip with us, please visit the Mass Bay Guides website, www.massbayguides.com. You can search prices, trip information, and get the latest reports and links to our social media pages there. You can also find us directly on Facebook and Instagram and just search Mass Bay Guides. On this episode of the podcast, we sit down with our good friend and fellow Mass Bay Guides crew member, Connor Doherty. Connor grew up in Scituate, Massachusetts, and like many of us, started fishing at a very young age. He's a great example of what it is to be a hardworking, respectful, and passionate fisherman. In this conversation, the three of us share a lot of great fish stories and charter stories from throughout the 2020 season. We talk about anything and everything from working in tackle shops at a young age to some of the epic battles we have had on big fish throughout the year. Most importantly, you should definitely get a few good laughs out of this one. Without further ado, please welcome Connor Size Large Doherty. Welcome to the Seabros Fishing Podcast.
Yeah. Pick things up, put things down. Am I loud enough talking from this far away?
Yeah, you're good.
You sure?
Yep.
As I adjust it?
Yeah, no, you're good.
Let's talk about how I try to make calamari delicious. Like, so there was that,
so give a little bit of backstory. Where did you procure the squid?
Yeah. So Middle Bank
calamari from?
There was tons and tons of squids. I don't know, maybe about a month ago now.
Yep.
Many as you wanted to catch in the dark in the morning, you could catch them during the day too, but squid jigs with a little light near your jigs, you could double up, triple up, however many jigs you had on your rig. So I'm catching all these squids. We used a few for bait, and I'm thinking to myself, like, this is gonna be the best dinner of my life. So like, we clean them, and you know, I'm in my kitchen for like probably over 2 hours, like prepping these squids. I had like 10 size large squids, 12 inch, 13 inch squids. Get them all nice and clean.
Don't tell my wife that.
Perfectly, yeah. The ones your wife said not to be worried about. Get them all prepped and clean, beautifully white. Get a nice like little batter going.
How long did it take you to prep and clean?
I'm not Chef Brian, so like legitimately 2 hours probably. Dude, between
for 12
squids, getting them like in some type of a batter and then getting them cooked to what I thought was perfection, and they were cooked pretty well. Like, they weren't overcooked, they weren't undercooked, but they tasted just like a fucking squid. Like one that would be in the cooler. Like, just grow, like, no,
you see, not
for
you.
I should have just taken $50,
they went tasted to like
the Mill Wharf and bought calamari that night.
Yeah, fantastic.
And I would have saved time.
Yeah, you would have saved 2 hours,
right? And it would have been way better.
My squid story is very similar. Middle of summer, half a dozen squids, Middle Bank, southwest corner, you know, bycatch bait. And it was hot out. I don't have air conditioning in my house.
Yuck.
And I thought I'd like dry, I prepped them. Same thing. Took me like 4 hours to get them all squared away. I get them ready to go in the fryer, and apparently I didn't dry them enough. And I had no shirt on because.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Dude,
burned victim.
Dude, it was so bad. It was like volcanic eruption into the oil and all over my body. Not like falling on me, but like the little droplets. It was hell, really. Oh, never again. Never again will I try to attempt to cook those things unless I get better at it. And that's not happening.
No. Yeah, I'm done with the squid production. How about you? Have you ever tried cooking squid?
Yes, I have.
Was it good?
Fantastic, actually.
Really? What did you do?
So the one variable that is different in between our three stories here.
Yeah.
Is I did not make a batter.
Okay.
No batter.
On the grill or?
Nope.
Pan?
Pan seared.
Yep.
Dressed my squids up nice and clean.
Yeah.
And all I had to do was put them in the pan, a little bit of love.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
Dude, nothing. Spice. So basically, you just cook them on a pan.
No. Salt, pepper, yep. Cumin, paprika. Put that in some olive oil, a little bit of water.
He's getting fancy on me right now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
I know. You wouldn't expect it.
I just went from 6 to midnight.
Uh-huh. And put that on a nice little paper plate. Call it a day. It was beautiful.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, but did you compare it in your brain to like calamari at a restaurant, or did you just accept
it? No, because I knew I'm not going to recreate
that. That was my problem. I was trying to recreate it, and I was like, this sucks.
Baby steps.
You had expectations, which is the one thing you can't have, especially tuna fishing.
That's right.
And with calamari now,
if there's anyone without expectations here for the tuna fishing and the cooking aspect of life, it's me.
Well, that's why you nailed your calamari experience.
You just got to send it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just go with what you got, you know? Yeah. Oh, so yeah, we cooked calamari this summer. Some highs and some lows there. What other fun stuff has happened the last month? We had some good fishing. I think the last time we met, it was like the end of July.
Yeah.
So pretty much all August has gone by without kind of recapping some stories, but August was damn good. End of July and August was really good.
August was
fishing.
A phenomenal month.
Yeah.
September has sucked.
Yeah.
It's been tough.
I shouldn't say it sucked. It's been sucking for us because we're not in the right marina for where the bite is.
Yeah.
But,
well, it's that combined with you doing day trip charters and the logistics to fish down there multiple days in a row is difficult. So.
One cool story is, I guess just, we had this one charter, the Whitcoast family, and, they fished with us once or twice last year, and then, they did three trips with us this year, and come to find out, his brother is actually, the senator of, Connecticut.
Or a senator.
A senator in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And
government official.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Humble public servant.
A lot more important than us. Yeah. So he was on the boat. Awesome dude. Actually, it was his first time he was bringing his brother out, but this guy's did three charters this year and kept just keeping at it and skunked basically every trip with us.
I fished 2 days. I think two of the days with him, and both of those days were like doldrum days.
Yeah, doldrum. And he just, on either side of his day, we'd do well. And just one of those guys that you felt like you were cursed with. And it was like 2:15 in the afternoon with 40 boat fleet on Middle Bank. And we were like the only bite at the very end of the day. And they fought the fish for over 2 hours, ended up being just shy of like 800 pounds. And just like the change, the outlook of what these guys, you know, what they went through fishing with us for so many days and persistence. You know, he had the wife, his kid, his brother, the grandfather all on the boat, and they were all just like taking turns fighting this fish. So I just kind of want to like mention that family. That was pretty cool. That was definitely one of the highlights of the summer for me.
What was cool too? Sure. What was cool too is like, I think two trips before that he brought like his son and a couple of his buddies or whatever, yeah.
And some Navy SEALs.
That was the second trip. The second trip was with the guy.
Those guys are crazy.
Yeah, but they were just they enjoyed the day.
Right.
You know, it's I feel like not all the time do you get, you know, especially with the whole like quote unquote wicked tuna experience. People show up with a lot of expectations for the day.
And that's kind of the point, you know,
that
I was making with the story. It's like they had very low expectations. They knew we caught fish. They knew that eventually if they put their time in, like deer hunting or whatever, any hunting, that eventually the time would come and they'd have a good trip.
Yeah.
And they finally had a really good trip.
Yep.
And there was like three fish caught out of a 40-boat fleet. We were one of the lucky ones. Big slob fat fish.
Yeah, there's definitely been some big mean fish around this year.
Yep.
Before, I think one trip before that, what was the Greek kid's name?
Andrew.
Andrew.
Yeah. It's very Greek.
So his last name is, and I don't want to butcher it, but he got a big slob that day. He's a horseshoe dude. An absolute horseshoe dude. So this guy, he's fished with some really good guys. I think he fished with Mark DeBlasio down in the Carolinas, right?
In the winter.
With Chris from LT for a couple of days, and they had a couple of good days there. He fished like 2 days. They got two. He said it was awesome. Then he came up and booked one day here with his girlfriend. Wife or his girlfriend?
I don't know.
His significant other.
Yep.
And awesome dude. And that bite was probably like one of the best bites we've had. Like the whales were like coming right down the line, right at us. His wife, I think, was like on like towards the transom as the whales are coming by. They both are just about to sound.
They go right through our spread.
Right through the spread. Their flukes go down. And like we're all watching, like, oh, that's so cool. Middle floater zonk, goes down. At first, I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, we just hooked the whale.
But then the rod spun the other way and we knew we were on, but that was a big one. That was like 850.
Yeah, we had to release that.
That was a big fish.
Yeah, we had a nice feel-good day with similar to your last story, Taylor.
Well, you guys have had a number of feel-good days because you've been on absolute fire for the last couple weeks.
Let's talk about the trip when you got four.
Yeah.
And we got none.
Four.
Zero. None. We didn't even mark one. I think we marked one. And I don't think we saw a fish all day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean.
But you were just on where they were.
Well, that day also started out with like, okay, this is like a wash of a day. We got out there. There was an issue back at the dock that we had to take care of. And we had to turn around, get cell service, that yada, yada, yada.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And then everything's good, so we make our turn back out east to the Great Blue. And do our old song and dance, put all the baits out. And first fish, it was just like, thank God. Thank God.
Yeah.
Middle floater, red balloon, always. The red herring, how you doing? And I see one big swell go over and the balloon was underwater. I'm like, interesting. And it was still underwater, so we came tight to that fish, and I didn't know how big it was. Took one big run down deep, and then I realized it was a 55-inch rat, my smallest fish in my life.
Was that really, like, your first small one?
Yes, basically. That's my smallest. Yeah. 55. Until later in the year.
Yeah.
And
I think I got you beat on that one.
Yeah, I think you do. But
did you get one that was like negative inches?
Yeah, it was like 30. It was like inches.
Larva.
A mackerel.
Yeah. Thought it was like an albie at first. Actually thought it was a baby poor beagle at first.
It'd be a blast.
Because it didn't. We reeled it in. That was the fight.
Oh my God. So we got that fish wrapped up. Yeah, back to the ball.
Rapid fire.
Rapid fire. 5 minute fight. Knockout punch. What's up?
Yeah.
So
you got food. Great day, and it was a closed day anyway. I believe
it was. It was. So I was like, "This is absolutely perfect." Our group had no idea what to expect. They never went tuna fishing in their life. They're like, "Cool, this is awesome."
Yep.
I'm like, "Yeah, this is pretty good. Life is good for us right now." So, and we keep going. Put the baits out again. First bait out.
First
bait out on the reset. Just kind of send it out there. Have to do all the lines again, make sure everything's good. That goddamn rubber band just goes out to Mars again. I'm like, okay, we're on again. This is fun. And fight that fish for about, I don't know, 45 minutes. Get up to the boat, 90-incher.
Yep.
Swim it for a bit. Kicks away healthy, happy, like you want. And okay, everything's great.
your day's improving.
It's increasing. The morale on the boat's pretty good.
Yeah.
And we get back, and I'm resetting everything again, and then recreate what I just did. Put out that balloon, let it go, and
it went down again.
Yeah, we were low on the bait though at this point, and we had mid bait haul over the gunwale, bring that bad boy in. We had a rogue seagull come in. Mind you, I have one bait out. I'm not thinking much right now. Just trying to get these baits into the boat, no problem. And we had one rogue seagull come in. It puts its 2 feet on the boat in between me and that rod. Good God, when I tell you, as soon as it touched and I'm trying to like get towards the rod, that rubber band again goes to Venus, I believe. Either Venus or Pluto. I know Pluto isn't a planet anymore, but I mean, whatever.
Yeah, I gotta give it credit.
Yeah, so I was so close to pulling like an Adam Vinatieri, like just punting straight up the punt the seagull back to where it came from. And you know Mike's boat, how that, that middle rod holder is on that tuna door thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Is it on a
on a wobble board?
Yeah.
Wobble board?
Yeah, it's not really even connected to the boat.
It's not. It's straight up not. So put the drag up on that fish, and I thought we were going to lose the rod and everything else connected to it. Back off the drag, we have about, I'd say, 100 yards left, and then pull the hook on that one. That sucks, but that's the way it is. After
that's a lot of strain. I think we were going,
because we got off the ball for it, went Mach 10 backwards, and then Mach 10 forwards, trying to chase it, get line, and just, there's too much line out with a big bow in it.
Pulled the hook.
That was that, and then we ended up get back one more time. And yeah, we hooked up once more.
That's great.
And we got close to a 100-incher. It was wonderful, you know.
That's a great day.
It was a good day.
What did your charter think?
They were waiting for the fifth. And I was just like, yeah, sorry, I couldn't pull it off. Yeah. You know, just miracles don't always happen, right?
Oh, I gotta love
it. That's just crazy, though, that people
think that's normal day.
It's just a normal tuna day for, you know, because they've just never done it. Mm-hmm. They have no idea.
We had a few days like that this year.
And I know. It's like, and it sucks because they end up coming back, which is great.
Yeah.
They never do as well the second trip. You know, they get the one bite or the no bite or the two bite. And it's just, oh, yeah, you know, remember last year when we got five? I'm like,
I remember.
Yeah, I remember because it's great in my memory, too.
Unless you're, what's his face there?
Oh, Rich Amaral?
Yeah, Rich Amaral. That
another,
guy.
Another horseshoe.
Absolute horseshoe. Yeah. He was rattlesnake day.
Yeah. Well, he's gone like, I think he's gone like 7 trips and he's caught like 11 giants or 12 giants total.
Good God.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, guys. A
couple days of
fire.
Like 3 or 4 fish. And then I think he had one trip. He didn't get one, but he got a shark and something else.
We had agreed. The last trip with him was hilarious. I mean, great.
Dude, red hot, angry tunas on the middle bank.
Yeah. Tons of downrod bites. We got a big thresher. Got like a 250. Well, Palm Beach release on a thresher. He wanted to take one home to eat. And of course, like you catch and release and can't break off every single one of them. And then the one you want to try to keep, he breaks off.
Yeah.
I think we have to pretend that our mindset is in releasing fish the whole time.
That's absolutely what it is.
Because
you're way calmer and you can be, you're more aggressive. Like you're trying to.
Well, I think our vibes go through the line to that tuna, and they're like, I'm going to fight extra hard.
Dude, the more relaxed you can be, the better, you know? That's one thing that Taylor and I and our, you know, OG and a lot of people that we know that have gone to Canada with us have learned is just relax.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's no different than, you know, hooking a big striper at the dock and having to, like, weave your way up, you know, out of trouble. You know, or back the drag off or whatever. It's exactly the same. So
both exhilarating experiences.
Very exhilarating. Sure. We had a great day the other day in the river.
I had a fantastic day. It was short, sweet, to the point.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Come out, catch a couple. Let's go home.
Yeah.
You know?
It was great.
Let's try not.
What happened with the tide?
A few tacos.
I saw something to do with trying to get back to your car.
That was hilarious.
This
actually
was great. This is actually a great story.
As you
can
Instagram.
Tell, we don't really have an agenda today. We're just reminiscing about recent trips. But yes, we went striper fishing in the river. Usually it picks back up in the fall. There's been a ton of peanut bunker way up in the river and some nice fish. We're getting some fish up to like 40 inches up there. So Corey and I went. Connor met us down the dock, picked Connor up, caught a few more. Fished for like another half hour to an hour, and it kind of like slowed down quite a bit. and then realized that it was a new moon and it was like an 11-foot tide and our trucks were going to be underwater soon.
Holy shit.
Yeah. We parked like right at the ramp. And for anyone that has fished with us down the river where we keep our boat, the ramp was like opposite. It was going up back towards like...
Inverted.
Towards inverted. And then the ramp was inverted. So I pull the boat down the creek to let Connor and Corey off. Connor's a fucking savage, and he jumps off the boat with his shorty extra tufts and immediately fills his boots full of water.
I'm always here to take one for the team.
So we have Connor.
Always here.
We have Corey, who are both over 6 feet, like, you know, grizzly men. And then you have my dog trying to, like, get off the boat in the creek, get our trucks out of the salt water. It was an absolute shit show. So then we get that all squared away. We move our trucks. I'm like, you guys hang. I'll go wash the boat and whatever. I bring the boat back, get it washed off, dock it. And then I realize, like, I have too many things in my hands to carry through waist-deep water mm-hmm. in the parking lot, like, by myself. Mm-hmm. So I get, like, halfway there, and I see one of, like, the rental canoes, like, staring at me. So I'm like, I have a great idea.
Commandeering at its finest.
So I commandeered this canoe, filled it with fishing poles, Corey's like Yeti, which I thought had like a mixed drink in it. So I'm like trying not to spill it, like while rowing a canoe with one arm and no paddle, like down the freaking like driveway of the marina. Uh-huh. And I get about halfway to Connor and the wind grabs me and I have no way of paddling whatsoever. And Riley's swimming next to me, trying to jump in the canoe, getting me absolutely soaked. So the wind catches me. I go like full speed into this dock that's like probably 50 yards downriver. And I'm like pinned to it because of the wind. So I have to cast a popper at Connor. Connor grabs the popper and I literally fight myself back to Connor using like a 12-pound test striper rod.
I'm surprised you didn't, honestly surprised you didn't break me off.
I am like,
dude, I gotta that say that been... setup almost caught a 90-inch bluefin in 17 feet of water.
Yeah.
What, me? I'm like the same size.
Yeah, pretty much. I knew the tackle was tested, so it was my last hope of
Oh my God. Of
not being swept down the river. So yeah, that was fun. That was a fun adventure, you know? But the point of the story here is don't do that. And the other point of the story is if it's windy and in the fall and you are able to get in the river, go, because it's damn good fishing right now.
It's a great alternative to beating your head off the
The
beaten path.
Yeah, I mean, you got a 6-hour inshore charter or whatever, and you can't go out and get bait. It's like scooting the river. You can still do something.
That was our plan for September 30th.
And we only fished there a few days. We had our charter limit on every single trip. You know, we didn't keep it, but it's good fishing.
Lots of stripers this year.
Yeah, how many inshore striper trips did you do this year?
Do you think you've done?
I think you get the, like, the mate of the year award for
I think you definitely should.
For doing that many inshore trips, because that's mind boggling to me.
Well, you gotta take away, like,
You work on the power play.
Yeah, I never finished my intro, but we'll just keep pushing here.
Yeah. You work on the power play, Captain correct. Mike Evenson.
31 Eastern.
You now have
JC.
Your captain's license, right? Are you getting it?
About to get it. Yeah.
About to get it.
Yep.
So power play is one of the boats in the Mass Bay Guides fleet. They also, you know, have Mike and Connor do their own thing too and book direct, but they also do a lot of overflow for Mass Bay Guides. So a lot of, you know, most of the tuna trips all the way up through August tend to be on Fortuna. And then once the tuna fishing picks up in late August, September, our other boats start doing a lot more tuna trips. So there's a lot of bass trip filler in there throughout the summer.
So many bass trip fillers.
So how many bass trip fillers?
Well, I'd have to say...
Be conservative.
Damn. Bro. Okay, conservative. Like 80. I don't know. Close to 80 or 70, generally. I mean, we're doing 2 or 3 a day at times, so...
Yeah.
There was never like earlier when I was younger, we'd do like a 4 or 6 hour call a day.
Right.
But no, this is a marathon now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
And there's only so many spots.
That's yes, the other thing. But we time it out right, and it's like a farm. We have our little farms, and we go from one field to the next.
Yeah, harvesting, let one grow.
You harvest a couple here, harvest a couple there.
Exactly. And, yep. You know, I mean, just always have a good plan, and we did well almost every
you
time.
You guys crushed it on the bass.
Yeah, it was good. And, like, early season, we got some absolute missiles, like, all over. Like, we were everywhere. We were in Billingsgate. We were off Nahant, Marblehead, Boston, like, everywhere.
What was the biggest fish?
Biggest fish? A lot of the ones I didn't even, like, want to put in the boat, really. But I'm going to have to go conservative 48, 49.
Inches.
Yeah. Probably close up to 45, 50 pounds.
Yeah. That's sick fishing.
Yeah. Somewhere on top water, somewhere in baits in the rocks. Like, just, yeah. It was unbelievable. So.
I know you guys, obviously rock fishing up against the structure is a little bit different, but kind of what's the approach out in the open water? Like, what's the program like? I know there's a lot of secrets you don't want to share, but.
Of it's just he's out there every day.
Yeah, it's a lot of putting in time.
Spots are kind of specific, sort of.
General areas. I would say, depending on where you are, I mean, there's a lot of fish pouring in from, like, that shipping lane area and then going north.
So basically east of Cohasset and Hingham.
Yeah, and then did a few trips fishing there, but not many. It kind of dries up quick.
Yeah.
But our main big fish area was definitely Nahant this year, and there was no secret. I mean, we were sometimes in fleets of 100 boats.
Yeah.
And it would be like a mixture of trolling's like baits up high, and then you'd get like knockdowns. And we put a rigger out too, like a rigger bait, and that was pretty savage to see.
Yep.
A lot of trolling baits, and then we do a lot of subsurface casting, top water with like the docks. And then I also tried the vertical jig again.
Yeah.
Nice Ron Z.
That work?
Down to 80 feet. Absolute slammers.
Really?
Oh, my God. It was so sick. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Hooked a tuna there.
Yeah.
No question. It dumped a lot of string. Like, and there was, the tempo was very different, as you can say. So, it was pretty unbelievable. Good bass year.
Sick.
Yeah. There were a lot of big fish up there for a while.
Still got a lot more blues this year, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see a little bluefish increase in the next few years.
Yeah.
Seeming that way.
When I was, 15, it was like they're up sunning out in like just east of Tar Pouch.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that more and more, so.
Yep.
Which is, I mean, I don't know if it's good or bad. It kind of makes the tunas do weird shit, but so do pogies.
Yeah.
I did miss the pogies this year. That was sad. The pogies were unbelievable, like the last few.
I mean, there was some fish in some pogies this year, but you can't kill them, you know, and it's all like pogie snagging stuff.
And that's,
you end up hurting fish and
imminent death for most striped bass.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yeah, most guys shied away from that.
It's good for the commercial fishing this year.
Yeah.
Had a decent little year doing that, but never really even had the time to fish in my own center console. So I fished two trips all
it's
year.
Nuts.
Yeah.
It's good though. It's busy with charters making the dough.
Unbelievable. You know, so fortunate with like what we're doing right now, especially with COVID.
What was like your favorite bass day?
Had to be the vertical jig / subsurface day. It was just like absolute moose slamming mackerel, pogies, herring, everything up off of Marblehead. And it just, as soon as the sun comes out of the clouds, that first light deal.
Yep. Nuts.
Oh, my God. It was biblical.
Yeah.
Just like big fish coming out of the water, like just peel and drag all day.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. Like, I haven't seen that
since. It's
even
cooler, too, because you're releasing like 90% of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So there's very, the mortality rate.
Your pressure is probably way down. You're not really caring about, you know, getting the net on a fish or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, I shy away from the net.
Yeah.
I mean, you think of, I moved away from trebles and put like inlines on them and stuff. But I used this, like a few new tools this year. The tuna swim hook this year.
For the bass.
For the big bass. Yeah. It was actually so helpful.
That tool is awesome.
Cheers to you guys for that. That was helpful to use.
Yeah. Well, cheers to the Canadians for really pioneering the whole thing.
Thank you, Canadians.
So let's take a step back. So You've been charter fishing for 8 years.
Give or take, yeah.
Give or take. How did you get into, like, fishing in general? Like, is it in your family, in your blood, or did you just, like, start doing it on your own? You worked at Belson's, too, didn't you?
I did work at Belson's for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. And, no, my family does not fish. Like, a lot of the guys around, they grew up with it. And I kind of, my dad took me fishing.
Yeah.
I caught the little panfish.
Yeah.
That was exhilarating for the time. But, yeah, I got really into it when I was probably like 8 or 9, just like catching fish off the docks when I was little. And, starting off, like getting older, I actually think I saw Corey when he was working for your dad. And, I saw him cutting a tuna when I was probably like 12 on my bike. I'm like, that is sick.
Yeah.
So I like had a friend, Patrick Kearney.
Yep.
And I knew him from just like growing up around the area. And like when I was probably 13 or 14, I was kind of like hanging out in the docks with him one day. And he was like, hey, like meet this guy. It was Rob Green.
Yep.
And I started cleaning that guy's boat for a good summer and a half. Like just, I cleaned a ton of boats, got to meet some guys. I worked for another guy in the dock. Did that. Worked for that guy for a few years. A
couple of people worked for that guy.
Yeah, a few guys, you know. Good turnover. Anyway,
moved on. Did you ever get any good numbers off him or?
Yeah, recently off social media I did.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Either way. I don't know. Whatever. And then I fished with your friend, Jeff Weber.
Yep.
He was awesome to work for.
He was like, that was like your first season, like legitimate really commercial tuna fishing, right?
Yeah, legitimate, like learning how to do it. I didn't believe those fish existed.
And he's certainly a good one to fish with. He's a
unbelievable dude. Yeah, yeah. No, I had a lot of fun fishing with him. It was like cool. We'd do like cool trips up to like the flag or
yeah,
interesting days for sure.
Got and my... he's a no bullshit fisherman either. He's just
no straight to the point.
Yep.
But yeah, caught some fish with him. Learned a lot, and then started fishing with Mike Evenson coming up on 4 years ago now.
Has it really been that long?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Mike and That's I, awesome, Mike though. And I
you
work.
You guys jive.
We do jive. We, a couple, is that, no, I'm not going to say that. yeah, but he's been awesome to work for. I mean, just taught me a lot. Trust me with his boat now, which is cool.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he just taught me a lot about the inshore game, offshore game. So.
He's nasty inshore.
Yeah.
Especially in the South Shore.
He's getting to be nasty offshore.
Yeah, him and I together have been like a
I'm
really
good
team.
Holding secrets from him, I
think. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's important, though. I mean, having a like, crew that like knows how each other fishes and you trust each other, you know. If you can get to a point where the guy running the boat does not have to even think about what's in the water, then you're... Right. You're jiving.
Yeah, you know? No, we're jiving pretty hard. Like, especially this year and last year. Like, really could say it's, like, been the best 2 years of fishing I've ever had. So, sick. It's been good, you know. And then fishing with you guys from time to time.
Yeah.
Fishing with, filling in sometimes for OG.
Yeah.
That's always a goddamn adventure.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it's been a real blessing to
did
do
your
this.
First, was it last year or the year before you did your first canyon trip with me?
Jeez, that was
it was like 3 years
going ago, to senior of college. Yeah, so
was it really that long?
Three ago? Years yeah. ago, and I've been I can't wait to go back.
Yeah,
that was the most fun I've ever.
Problem
had.
Is, you're in it now.
I know. I'm
so to get out of it is not easy.
Yeah,
I know. I'm in it for sure, but
there's lack of people in the industry for sure to fill in.
Yeah, and that's another thing. We're like training our new like we have a new.
Oh
kid
yeah, I
want to
meet that kid at some point. Well, yeah. I met him once, but.
Aiden, yeah, he's a good kid. He's, for his age, so fishy.
So as, like, younger generation fishermen, how old are you now?
22.
So I'm 12 years older than you.
Yeah.
Taylor's 10 years older than you. As a younger generation fisherman, like, what do you think is the most important thing to do to get your, like, foot in the door with, like, a program like Mike's or just any charter boat program?
Any,
you know,
any fisherman, anyone you want to fish with.
Anyone you want to fish with. Like, what did you find was the most important thing you did early to build your fishing career up?
I would say show up on time. That's the biggest thing, no matter what. And speak when spoken to.
Yeah.
just kind of listen there. You don't just don't think you're like head honcho right away or at all. Still, yeah. Kind of just like watch what everyone's doing, listen, just kind of recreate what you've been taught and do it the right way. Don't half-ass it.
Yeah,
whole ass it for sure.
Whole ass everything.
Yeah, like I would like even getting down to the boats. Like when I couldn't drive, I made sure I was there on time. Ride my bike down. Cops would be like, "What the hell are you doing?"
I'm
like,
yep.
"Going fishing, bro. What are you doing?"
I'm old Greg.
But yeah, I mean, just like do it. Do what you've been taught. Show up on time. Work hard. That's about it. I mean,
practice.
Clean the boat as well. Like, if anything I've learned from Mike, clean the boat spotless every time, and people will appreciate that.
Yeah.
Dude, and charters love it.
I think we get like a good, like we get compliments, I'd say 95% of the time.
I know my mom gets calls like back from charters and stuff, and they specifically mention how clean Mike's boat is.
Yeah. If you're fishing on someone's boat, leave it better than you found it, basically.
Right.
Like tackle wise, anything.
And the cleaner and more organized you are, the more hook time you're gonna, more soak time you're gonna get. If you can keep baits out and have stuff at your disposal and organized.
Yeah.
Instead of like an absolute yard sale back there.
Yeah.
You know?
It's
important thing to
easily
thing to do.
I'd say top 2, top 3 most important things to have on a boat. Organization for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
I think working for free is big too in the beginning.
I did work for free for like probably a year.
Yep. That's basically what Shad's doing. You know, he gets little like
Shad's an animal.
Tidbits of money here and there, but
the Red Devil.
Yeah, the little Red Devil. Yeah.
That kid's a horseshoe.
He's working hard. He's trying to learn as much as he can.
Yeah.
He's just young, you know.
Yeah, and I'm
and you look at him and you just expect him to like know things, but he's just young. He was only 16 this year.
So. Yeah.
There's a one thing too that is a hard to keep in check and keep balanced initially when you're getting into it young is like not being the balance between not being a neck breather with whoever's like the mate who you're working with for the day and then being a step ahead and helping them at the same time.
Right.
You know, that's what's hard. It's like, you know, if you don't sit there and watch me rig a bait when I know that ice needs to go in the live well or, you know, whatever else.
That's just it. Like, they don't know that yet. You know, they're thinking about what they're doing right now. They're not proactively thinking. So,
but
it's hard.
And that's with also
but
with that
thinking.
Age.
But if you're doing that, you notice you're a step behind. That's something you need to work on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You
know? And I was definitely that when I was like young, like 14, 15. But like, as I got older and I think fishing, like not with a charter sometimes too, can kind of just like put you at ease a little bit. I think being on a charter when I was younger, probably like 15, I was like wicked nervous to like do things the wrong way or like screw up somehow. But like fishing, say with Jeff, it was like pretty nonchalant. Just do what needs to be done and just do it the right way,
yeah.
I guess. And was it the right way all the time? Probably not. But I mean,
yeah. Try hard, at least.
Yeah, just kind of work hard and see what you can do.
One other thing, too, is spend time fishing. Like a lot of these like kids, and I think we kind of had to tell Shadow this, too. It's like, you know, when you're not on the boat.
Go fishing.
Hang around the docks, you know, do whatever. Like, help build those instincts and you know, kind of learn what to look for. You know, It's hard to kind of explain that to someone when they're training mating like throughout the day and you're working with customers. So you kind of have to build that on your own and bring that to the boat with you.
Yeah.
You know?
And that like having my family having like a small, 19 foot center console, I'd be buzzing all over the place trying to go for bass, blues, whatever.
Yeah.
Occasional giant bluefin.
Yep. Then you
that never worked out.
Yeah.
But I tried.
Yeah. Oh, that's great though.
Yeah, it's been a real blessing.
What's like what are kind of your goals moving into the next 5 years or so? Like, what do you want to do? Do you want to be doing?
I bet he hasn't even thought of that. Have you thought about
that? Well, that's kind of why I changed my entire major in college.
True.
So I was originally a criminal justice major and I switched to marketing because I'm like, yo, I love fishing. I already do it as a job now and I enjoy it. For the most part, but I do enjoy it.
There's always bad days with anything.
Oh, yeah.
And way more good days, though, with fishing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. And I'm like, I see all these guys and they're like, dude, I wish I was doing what you're doing right now. I'm like, well, that's a double-edged sword. Anyway, I wanted to like kind of ease my way into like the professional world too. Yeah. So if the stars align, everything works out, I'll be with On the Water coming up this winter. And I'm trying to like figure out my scheduling for next year, probably run a few trips once I get my captain's license on Mike's boat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of want to just like keep doing what I'm doing and just have that ability to go out farther and do my own thing a little bit more.
Like, yeah.
Probably run a few charters on my center console and definitely want to get out to the blue water more. That's yeah. Just maybe work on a bigger boat somewhere, but no like finite concrete.
Yeah. You just want to fish.
I just want to fish and I want to fish hard and fish big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's my thing.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's been great though. I mean, I think next year it won't be as much for me, but see what happens. I mean,
yeah, you never know.
You never know what's going to happen now.
Filming On the Water episodes or something, you know?
Maybe. I mean, with the year of 2020, literally anything could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about the most messed up year ever.
It's been pretty messed up.
Yeah,
for sure.
No predictability. I mean, thankfully it's been good for charters and people will still want to get out and go on an adventure. So it has been, you know, busy for us, but
yeah,
it's been challenging for sure. You know, a lot of cancellations out of state, but we've had a lot of local people that have seen how good the tuna bite's been. So they want to fish. So it's been kind of backfilling those clients that might not necessarily be able to come here. So it's all worked out, you know, hopefully.
I think it's been better than working out.
I think it's been great. I mean, we've been busier than ever, really. Well,
yeah.
What's
the total trip percentage for you this year? Like total number?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
Pretty much a charter every single day since the opening.
Yeah.
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 All the way through.
Mike did the numbers. End of October. You know, he likes to know everything going on. We're up at like 116.
116?
Yeah.
Total charters. So you had a lot of doubles, though. A
lot of doubles. Yeah. So it's kind of crunched into like different days. But
and I'm going to say at least half of those were Mass Big Guides charters.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Thanks to you guys. Appreciate that. But,
and then I know Jayco's been doing a bunch of trips for us.
Yep. Yeah, we've had a lot of overflow and multi-boat bookings.
Lost like all the corporate people, though.
Yeah, yeah, that was a big hit for a lot of guys.
Retreats, things like that.
Right.
Yep. But we've gained a lot of good new clients too, you know?
Yeah. A lot of people that didn't realize how, like, what was so close to them. Yeah. We take them out for a day and they're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
We're coming back.
You can catch sea monsters within an hour of land. That's right. Cool. You know?
Yeah.
Let's hope it keeps up that way.
Yeah.
And the good news is the fish were so mixed this year with size.
Yeah.
That I'm not really worried about, like, a certain class coming back next year.
30-inchers mixed with 900-pounders.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. Literally, one day we got a 36 and a 50-something. The next day we got a 60, and Connor got a 115. Actually, no, in between that, you guys didn't go. You had a bass trip or something.
Yeah, and we had a few trips. And
like, we got an 88, and then the next trip we got the 60-incher, and you guys got a 115. Thing was a freaking moose knuckle.
Yeah, that was a big fish.
It was quite the knuckle. Like, yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
What'd you think when you saw that thing come up? I mean, you obviously knew it was big based on the first run, but when you saw it first, were you like,
yeah,
like, I had like immediate gorilla panic. I wish this harpoon was 4 feet longer.
10 feet longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was rough.
It was very probably like five to six, maybe sevens thrown in there.
Yeah.
And I was like,
rough. It was definitely one of the roughest days of the year for bringing clients out on mid 30 foot vessels.
Yeah. And we were out there, to say the least.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that was actually, I've had some weird bites this year where I'm like in the middle of doing something else and then I just like, it happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
That's usually like, when it happens.
When yeah. Like I literally think I was like washing out like my Yeti tumbler or whatever in the waves right next to it as we're going. And I'm like, oh God, it's happening. So and we got tight to it and we're backing down on that fish. And I was like, just kind of, okay, we're in the rhythm here. We're going to get some line back. And like taking waves over the bow while we're backing down, and like we literally could have if we just hit it right at one point, we could have slid under and we would have sank most definitely.
There were like, you know, those like shorts 6 foot, like,
yeah,
10 feet apart,
and then throwing a swell too, and we're going like four or five knots backwards. It's like,
yeah,
recipe for disaster. So the fish was actually pretty, like, I had a fish.
He was pretty docile.
Pretty docile, actually. Like, just bulldogging for the most part.
He was full of spiny objects.
Yeah. Dude,
he was probably poisoned. Didn't want to swim, yeah.
He was poisoned from dogfish spines.
Full of dogfish. That's weird.
Yeah, that was the weirdest point. Like, trying to dress that fish, I was like, I'm the one guy out of this entire town that could get injured in any possible way.
Yeah.
Knock on any
By the way, here. Connor's nickname is the Big Hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone calls him the Big Hurt.
Let's just knock on some wood here. He'll
probably get injured on his way out of the house later.
I prefer not.
Yeah, let's hope not.
Yeah, I've had a good year without injuries, so that's great. But yeah, we chased that fish down at like a 45, and then it was like 80 feet down for like, it seemed like eternity.
Yeah.
And then I got it up in like deep color. I saw it. I was like, great. Like, it's here. And let's just hope these waves don't kill us.
Yep.
And I just saw it. It was like a weird, like, wide circle with like a figure eight mixed in. I'm like, oh God, like, it's going to chafe off or something.
Yeah.
Per usual. And then it made one of those like weird, long, long outward circles. It comes up and I see its head and it's like, half of its body is like out of the water, and I'm like, oh boy. And it went down again and bulldogged, and that one last pass, I had to do like a javelin Sparta throw trying to hit it before it went back down again. And I made my mark.
That's good.
So yeah, that was really fun, and it was just a shit show. Like, Mike is at the wheel, white knuckled the whole time. And I have these guys from like New York, like inner city New York. They're fantastic. They're so much fun. But they've never wrestled a tuna boat side. Yeah. So like, I'm trying to like coach everyone on where to go and what to hold. I'm like trying to hold on to the harpoon and keep it high. And this guy's like, these guys are not small also.
Yeah.
So I'm like, give me the tail rope. You take the gaff, put it in the goddamn tail. And this guy, I put that, like, basically the lasso around the fish. I handed the guy, I'm like, just hold that. And he starts to hold it and lay, like, basically bring the rope over the rod. And he's starting to lay down on the rod. And it's just pushing that whole gunnel down. I'm like, no! So
do the opposite of that.
The opposite of that. The inverse, please. And, got it tied off and couldn't even, like, swim it. It was just literally too dangerous to even deal with.
Yeah, so it's tough in those rough seas. And then start trying to swim him down sea and he's getting underneath you and stuff. We've been doing the same thing. If we'd be getting a big fish on a rough day and, you know,
just call it a day, tail rope it,
call it a day and, you know, try to let him cool down a little bit backwards and then bleed him out.
Yeah, that's exactly what we did. And then, we finally got a bag. We got rid of the tarp.
Yeah.
And we got in the boat. Wonderful. All is well. And I was struggling to get it. Its head was actually in the cabin at the end of this whole ordeal. And its tail was still not in the boat. So, yeah. And then it wouldn't fit in the bag. So
it's always fun catching a real one.
That was my first, like, true real one when I, like, did it, like, kind of on my own. Not on my own.
Where you were more in charge?
I was the coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was kind of cool to, like, coach everyone through it. And
yeah.
It was cool.
There's something about being able to land one of those big fish with brand new people on the boat. Like, if you can truly coach them through it and do it the right way and get them, then I think they're kind of...
They caught a yellowfin before, right?
Yeah, they were literally out in the canyon. They're out in, like, whatever canyon they're... maybe Hudson Canyon.
Yeah.
They're
out there. They fished down south. I remember them saying that.
Yeah, so they had a few... They had a swordfish and like a big yellowfin on their belt. So
yeah,
he did bring an 80 with straight up mono. And I was like, I don't know if that's going to happen to the chief.
Was that the day the guy brought his, flounder tackle box to go tuna fishing?
Different day. That was actually,
I thought it was a sea bass trip.
Yeah. Yeah. That was tough. I felt bad for that guy. I really feel for the people that
expect one
thing. No, they just think they're getting into one thing and it's a completely other thing.
Yeah.
they don't understand what's about to happen to them. But yeah.
It's fun though when you get one with someone on a trip like that.
Oh, know, yeah.
That doesn't understand.
Changes their perspective on life.
Then they don't want to do anything else.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've had our friend Dave Van Dyne out of Hanover. He comes out with us like 6 times a year. And he's been doing it for well before I even worked for Mike. He's just never caught a tuna.
Yeah.
He's hooked up to them. He's lost them, but never pulled it off. And yeah, we got like probably 4 or 5 days before we got that big one. We had him out. We brought was Alex. Alex came out with us too.
Yeah.
And the kid we've been training, Aiden. And that was awesome. But the fog rolled in, so we couldn't really see what was going on. So we just started moving.
Oh, it was brutal that day.
Yeah. Yeah. So we started moving around and put baits out. And oh, classic young mate move. Aiden had like the clicker off on the 130 and the far bait, letting it out slowly. And I'm like, it's like, the line is going very fast. and I looked out about like 80 yards and I saw like 3 big swirls, not big swirls, but swirls.
Yeah.
And I'm like, put up that drag clicker on. And I was like, holy shit, we're on. So that was cool. And we got Dave's first fish ever. Now he's hooked for life.
That's sick.
We have another trip coming up with him like Friday.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But that'll be fun. Hopefully get him a big one finally. Yeah. I felt bad. Because you know how I do my videos, the size large things?
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, Dave, what do we get today? Because he's used to doing like size large bass, whatever.
Yeah.
I saw that. Size large. You're like, actually.
Yeah. And he's like, size extra, extra large. And I'm like, Dave, that's a medium. I'm sorry. He's like, well, for me, I'm like, yeah, I feel like a dick right now.
I'm just being honest, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was a cool day. A lot of fun days like that where we've been able to check off some boxes for people.
I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Check the bucket list.
Yeah. It's one of those days the guy like makes eye contact with you and like goes in for the hug. I'm like, all right, this is happening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it was fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
So what's the rest of the season looking like for us, boys?
Well, one story we need to talk about is the rattlesnake.
Yeah, rattlesnake.
I've been waiting to hear about this.
Do you want
to
tell it?
I mean, not really. It was an epic tuna day.
Yeah.
Fish were biting the paint off the boat.
Yep. Yeah, so we had kind of like a mixed group. It was like a couple different companies together, yep. You know, like a vendor of one and whatever. So everyone kind of knew each other, but not really. And there was this woman on the boat, attractive woman.
Yeah.
You know, middle-aged, attractive woman. Nice. And she really...
I would say middle-older age.
Middle-older age. She fell into like...
She was older than us by at least 10 years.
She was in the like cougar sort of category.
Lynx.
I would say. Yeah, the lynx category.
Rawr.
And she was not afraid to show it.
Nope.
whatsoever.
Those can be very fun days.
Oh, it was a great day.
I've had a few like that this year.
Oh yeah, I haven't heard that many dick jokes in a long time, dude.
Oh my god.
But yeah, so she was just like full
anything and everything that she could comment on.
100%. It was unbelievable.
She was surrounded by dudes having the time of her life,
catching tunas.
She finally ended up fighting one at the end. She was nervous of fighting one. We ended up basically forcing her. She probably liked being forced to fight a tuna.
So it was like, it was a savage day. It was that thresher day that I mentioned before. So I think we got like a,
you don't want to say names.
I'm not saying any names.
Okay, fine.
I'm just referring back.
I can't say that.
So we got a short. It was a closed day anyway. So we got a short, kept that fish.
Yep.
Got
a big one.
Got back on the anchor.
Got another short.
Got back on the anchor, got another short, released it. Got back on the anchor, got a thresher shark. Palm Beach released it. Got back on the anchor, hooked in jumbo. And fish like didn't even know it was hooked, was still down buried in the herring, and we kind of had to like scoot around our anchor a little weird.
Still feeding.
Fish went down sea, chased them, you know, 45 off the side of the boat, chasing them down forward, and basically got the Palm Beach release on him. Yeah, he was like
10 feet from the leader.
10 feet from the leader, black backed, pulled the hook. And then.
Did we got another short?
No, we got.
At the end.
Yeah, well, that was like a borderline. That was like.
Yeah. It was like right on the edge.
Right on the edge.
I wouldn't have killed it on a commercial.
No, that was the one that the rattlesnake fought. Right. So yeah, the thirsty coug. We've now nicknamed her the rattlesnake.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And she loved. So OG came and visited that day. Down
at the end, I was cutting the fish. He at wasn't. The end.
He yeah. wasn't on the boat that day, and she was watching Brian cut the fish shirtless. Yeah. By the way,
I had to give her like a little, you
a little
know,
bit of a show.
Wait, who was shirtless?
Brian was. Shirtless.
I was. It was hot. It was hot. On. I Grundin's no shirt. It was
like
hot.
85 sunny.
That's a goddamn look for you.
We had the cockpit umbrella. No pun intended. She's holding the umbrella like right. over me, like above, like on the actual like sidewalk part of the marina.
She knew. She said to my dad, "Do you want me to hold the umbrella? Because I know how to hold a pole." Dead she, serious and laughed.
And then she slapped him.
And
on
then
the
she
ass.
Slapped him in the ass. She met my dad for 45
what
seconds.
What a
she,
savage!
She already slapped him in the
oh,
ass.
Oh, she was unbelievably savage.
I had two of those this year.
And his immediate reaction was just a rip of his butt, and he went. Oh, it was oh perfect, God. Though. He's like, you had to spend the whole day with that? I was like, dude, that was like PG jokes she was telling you, man.
Straight up double X rated R. In the
oh, it was unreal. But it made for a great day. Passed the time in between the bites. It was one of those days where, like, you get a fish, you got 1 liter wrecked, you put two rods out, and you're crimping the third leader on, and then you're on again.
Those are the sexiest days.
Oh, it's just nonstop action. And they were eating the down rod so hard that day.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. But yeah, we had a few days like that, you know, since our last podcast. We had a couple days with really big fish, like 900, 850-ish. We
went a bunch of real slow days.
Bunch of real slow days. Bunch of days with small fish, you know, kind of utilizing that option east of the bank when there was a biomass out there for a week or so. And there was a couple commercial days, like rough commercial days that we couldn't, you know, we didn't want to bring a charter out because it was too rough. So we would end up going. One day we had with Dave, good, and we got out there, hooked up pretty quickly, pulled the hook after like a half hour, got back on the ball, hooked up again. Freaking savage first run. Like
insane.
Instant going away bite up and like, kind of down the line, but like up onto the high ground. So we just literally backed down out of the fleet for a while. Fish was a little erratic, or actually very erratic, and then was in pinwheels, was coming up on his outside turn. We're like timing it, like, here we go, we're gonna back down, harpoon this thing right here,
dude. It came up like black back, just about to like just back and
like,
stick this thing,
like literally like whoop whoop, start coming back pretty hard. Taylor takes one hard crank on the reel to keep his head up as the fish is coming on the outside turn. Fucking handle breaks off the reel.
Oh, yeah.
While we're in reverse. So oh the rod God. Just completely slacks. Like, legitimate slack.
Slack line.
Like, slack, complete bow.
Straight is just kicking on the surface. Yeah, like.
Straight fishing pole.
Yep. Yeah. And at that point, he's on his high turn, so his head's up. So we got a ton of pressure on his head as we're backing down. So he just head down sounds. And thank God he was hooked on the right side of his mouth. So picture fish coming left to right, sickles up, leaders coming over his back to his right corner of his mouth, which we couldn't really tell at that point in time. Handle breaks off. So now the line's coming over the back of the fish. Handle breaks
Slacks
off.
Up.
We slack up. Head goes down. Taylor was able to like... keep him actually no we drove away, we got him tight again,
but then he tail wrapped himself
we didn't know it. We got the handle back on the reel,
then it
got
broke
a couple
off
more
again.
Cranks broke off again, then you fought him just with the arm of the reel, and at that point he was already tail wrapped, just heavy weight, like head down, and up he came tail wrapped.
It was so lucky.
I've been very fortunate with a few tail wrap fish this year.
Yeah,
dude,
it's
like
best.
It's like a present sometimes.
Oh, it was an absolute Christmas gift.
It's a present at the end when the thing is tired and it just comes up and it's like right there for you. When you get them tail wrapped or tail hooked off the bat, it's like, you know.
Sometimes you just pull the hook and
say
eventually
prayers.
It comes undone and you lose them.
Yeah. But that was an extremely, extremely lucky one. That was a nice fish, though. It was like close to 700-ish.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That was actually a good fish.
Yeah. That was a nice, nice one.
That was the one we got the most money for this year.
Yep. All the other ones have been very hit or miss, like everyone else that's been selling fish this year. But
yeah, we finally got our prices back.
Yeah. That hasn't been great.
Not ideal, but better than average, I guess.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we've had a couple decent ones, a couple bad ones, but not really different from the last few years, you know?
Sometimes I feel like no matter what you do, you're straight up not getting a good price.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously you want to care for your fish much as you can and, you know, really respect it and treat it right. But
that's how I feel.
There's some fish, like, I've had tournament fish that, like, you know, you don't want to, but obviously have guts in them and stuff. And still sold them, and I've got better, sometimes got better money.
That's the messed up thing about it.
It's crazy. Absolutely makes no sense sometimes. But, you know, for the most part, we do our best to take care of them.
No, it's important to respect it.
Yeah.
That's my biggest, especially when, like, releasing fish, too. I mean, dude, I did, like, one Palm Beach where I was, like, just pissed at myself. Like, held on just a little too long.
Popped him off.
Popped him. It was our, like, either our biggest or second biggest fish of the year.
Yeah.
And it just kicked. I knew it kicked away, but it's just like, for the show he just put us on. Like,
not as good as you wanted.
Yeah.
No, and I had the swim hook, like, literally in his mouth, and he just shook his head once, and I'm trying to do three things at once, and didn't happen for it the right way, but you know what?
Not everyone's going to be perfect.
No.
Probably the same one you killed.
Honestly, I was looking for that hook on the top of his mouth, but there are multiple beasts out there, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's some big fish out there.
I'm actually wondering if that was a bigger fish that we had that we released.
Really?
Might have been. Might have been.
We released a
couple. Sometimes they're longer, though, not as fat. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think this one, it had the girth. The girth was there.
That's what's important.
You know? Girth is important in all aspects of life.
Oh, we need to talk about a story that you mentioned earlier.
Oh, yeah. No, I learned my lesson this year.
I gave him some shit after this one.
Yeah, no, I deserved the shit, to be honest.
What are we talking about?
I was at Wildcat. You were at Wildcat.
You were at Wildcat. I was at Wildcat. We caught sharks. I think we were going home, and you were like, you had a charter that you knew.
It was with Dave. I felt like such a dick.
Yeah.
For poor Dave. Like, so
all of a sudden they started seeing a bunch of fish. They were a little east of us.
We put our slick out and everything for sharks. Had a great day shark fishing. I saw some fish just blowing up on half beaks, and we were like, all right, like, do you guys want to change it up a little bit, start trolling around, put the bars out? And I'm like, 9-inch white sluggo, put it way out there. And like, we only have 450s, but my dumbass didn't decide to put, they look smaller to me. Let's just say that. Let's start with that.
Is this with Mike or is this on another boat?
This is with Mike.
Okay.
Yeah. And,
this is in like...
This is like
early August, late July.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't start tuna fishing at all until like mid July. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So we have a big spinning reel on the boat. It's a Saragossa 20,000, like heavy ass, St. Croix rod mojo. So I'm like, all right, they looked like smaller fish. Let's throw out a nice little white sluggo on like 80-pound fluoro or whatever. I think it might have been bigger. But throw it out there. We troll for a while. They kind of went down. Saw another bunch we were heading towards. And then I'm kind of just like making sure everything's looking good out back. And we actually had Aiden on this trip too. And that kid's also a horseshoe kid, by the way. But I just kind of look up at everything like, just looking up, like, it was on that top rod rack that he has on the boat. And I just, all of a sudden, I see the spinning rod just double over and the line starts, just spinning out. And I'm like, okay, we're on. I don't know what's happening right now. I don't know how big it is. I don't know what we're about to deal with, but let's just go for it. And, yeah, it took about probably 500 yards of braid, went right down to the bottom. Fought it for probably...
He was in like 600 something feet of water.
Yeah, way out east. Dude, it was... Jeez. But Yeah. And like, I'm like, okay, like it feels heavy. It took me about 2 minutes to get the slack back, and then it dug down. But I'm like, all right, Dave, here you go. It's your first bluefin. Let's go for it.
On a spinning rod.
And I'm like, oh, this is actually news to me too. Like, I've never hooked one on a spinning rod. And
this is news to me too.
Yeah, I mean, it's
new experience.
This is new territory, uncharted territory. But yeah, we fought it for probably like 15 minutes, and it literally broke. I probably had like a 8 foot leader, and it broke the what is it called? The braid.
Yeah.
The braid string. So.
So the fish was too large.
Yeah, the fish was too big.
It was far too large. And then I got back to the boat, back to the marina, and Taylor's like, you fucking idiot.
That's
I'm like, yeah, I know. But.
Dude, 9-inch sluggos.
Yeah.
They catch size large sometimes.
Size large bass, size large tunas. Like. Yeah, it was pretty.
They're the most
it was cool.
Pain in the ass thing to deal with, though, when it's windy. I'll tell you that much.
It was like, all over the place.
We used to troll those things a lot 10 years ago, and they would almost always get bit, but it was impossible. So would bars. You know? So it's so hard to fish them as a fifth rod, or you'd have to fish three bars and like one sluggo off the rigger and change which side it was on depending on which way you're trolling.
Yeah.
We used to get a ton of bites on that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one thing I wish I was just too young to deal with, like to do the whole trolling thing like you guys got to. I hope that happens again.
It still works. It's just, you know, not many people are super confident in it.
Let's talk about trolling, actually. So we had a charter on the boat 3 weeks ago. The guy actually fishes locally. I don't even remember his name. Said he was out at Wildcat the first week of June. We went. Our first fish was like the third or fourth week of June this year. Trolling random, not blind, but you know, we saw some fish that day, but it was kind of blind where we ended up hooking up. He said he was out like June 4th or June 5th this year, and he says there was, what he says, tens of thousands of fish with several hundred whales. He said it looked like Chatham. It was just whales everywhere. Oh. Dolphins everywhere, tunas crashing everywhere. He had like a bunch of bites, lost a bunch of fish, had no idea what he was doing. And then we went out the third week of June. We saw like two whales, a couple schools of fish. So we literally missed. We missed like 2 weeks of fishing.
We
maybe
did.
Even more than that.
And it already that life had actually happened. Already started to spread out. Remember, like Western Edge had a million juvenile humpbacks,
right?
And then out to the east were some bigger spread out humpbacks, bigger minkies. Like it was almost like everything must have came in one large feed when that guy was there. And then it started taking up residency already. But it had a week plus to start getting set up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The fish were already here and we just didn't know it.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't fishing. The
COVID kind of slowed things down for people. People weren't really exploring because we weren't allowed to charter, you know? So there weren't eyes on it early enough. But. You know, you go try it next year, they might not show up till August 1st. You never know, but you never know unless you give it a shot, you know?
I just think they're, like, always out there in the beginning of the year.
I mean, we've caught a lot of fish earlier. We've caught them Memorial Day on the bank.
OG has his pilot's license, right?
He used to. I don't know how current he is or whatever. But
definitely not current. Definitely
let's go.
Not current. I would not want him flying a plane at this point.
Yeah. Hey, boys, I'm bearing left. Oh my God. Go out there on a plane. That'd be cool.
That would be cool. It would be cool. So, yeah.
Good what are the fun topics? Anything? You want to wrap it up?
No. I mean, we don't have much season left. This season, for me, I mean, for us, looks a lot different. This is the first time in 11 years that we aren't in Canada right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a big impact, which is a huge bummer. Can't cross the border until at least October 21st, which they've just keep pushing it back a month. You know, I honestly don't think that it's going to be opened up for this year,
right?
Even, you know, with everything going on. So
yeah,
it sounds like we're going to do Gomera again as long as we can get there.
Hopefully, you know, don't get our hopes up.
Love Gomera.
Canary Islands, that trip we were supposed to do last year.
Yeah.
The boat's still there for another year, so we're hoping we get a kind of redo in April, you know?
And that didn't work out Wait, were you supposed to go this year?
We were supposed to go this year.
We literally were flying
out. We had our bags packed.
On a Friday. Oh. Had our bags packed, and they canceled everything on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And they had fished one day. Horrible. I know we've already said this like four times on the podcast, but they fished one day as like to pre-fish. You know, there were a couple of guys had come in that have done, like, you know, are good guys in that fishery, you know, either are part of Gomera and have a charter company there. I think they linked up with them. They fished one day. They got like a 750 and a 450 fishing one rod.
Oh my God.
In crystal clear,
blue water. You know, I don't know. Hopefully it all works out. I don't want to get my hopes up too much about it. PEI is scheduled to roll for 2021. The entire crew for 2020, for the most part, is rolled over.
Yep.
So
gotta get up there. That's my plan.
Yeah, man. Next year, it's a special place. Those guys are
definitely doing.
They're
year.
Absolutely annihilating them right now, too. I mean, they had a kind of a similar bite to us for the last few weeks, but talking to Jamie and the boys for the last couple of days, pretty much walk on the fish the last few days. I think there were like 40 or 50 pieces that came in one day the other day. Ben used both tags in one day, one in the morning, one in the evening with Blair on his own boat, which is...
That kid seems like a beast.
Dude, I've been trying to like put together a post, you know, about Canada because we're not going, and just like, you know, making sure everyone understands how special of a place it is. Going through pictures. First off, I can't pick the pictures I want to use for because there's so damn many of them. But going back, I went back to 2010, which is my first year there, and I have a picture of Ben reeling on a fish.
Dude, he's tiny.
He can't even see over the gunwale, dude.
I love that.
Can't even see over the gunwale, and he's pulling.
Can't pull, crank, nothing.
Yeah.
Two hands on the crank.
Dude. And then I look, you know, talking to him, FaceTime with him the other day, and he's running his own boat, hanging fish.
That's savage.
He's a savage. He's an absolute savage. It just goes to show you that, and it's all what you put into it. That kid has spent as many days as possible on the water, and he's, you know, he's doing well.
Yeah,
which is great to see.
Going back to two hand reeling, like I don't know,
quite a few of those.
Yeah, but like, why don't we bring like a spritz bottle in the boat? So every time they do it, you spray
like a
them.
Cat. You just start like squirting them, dude, like a cat.
Like no matter how many times you tell them to stop, they're just like, I'm just gonna go two hands in this reel.
Yeah, we make them keep their left hand.
We just tell them to get off the reel.
Yeah,
yeah.
Say you're done next.
Oh, and I've been like,
really?
Like, yep, yep. You're done.
You're done next.
There's been times where I've been very close to throwing a nice little hip check and like getting him off the rod.
A nice little hip check would launch a customer out of the boat.
Well, no,
it would break them in half.
I know. I understand, but like even when I've actually like. Give people like disclosure on the boat. I'm like, if something happens and you're in the way, like I just need you guys to get out of the way because I'll run you over.
Yeah.
and I'd be as nice about it as I can, but oh,
it's full disclosure. You're like, if that rod goes off and you're sitting there
and it
next
goes onto
to
the
it,
boat and I gotta move it quick.
Yeah.
You Stuff's best
gotta happen
you
fast.
Best move.
Yeah.
For your own health.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But
oh, so yeah. Canada is a no-go. We have a backup plan, though. One of the groups, you all have heard him on the podcast before, so Dave Good has a couple buddies from college that were going on the PEI trip. They've...
Good guy.
Good. Dave's a great guy. So they're actually fishing with us.
Yep.
October...
Something.
Like the 9th, 10th, somewhere around there. Middle to end of October. So that'll be... It'll be good to at least hopefully bend a rod for him. You know, hopefully the fishing's good. We'll see. I'm a little scared. I don't know if everyone can sense the hesitation in our voice, but I was fully expecting September to be way, way more productive.
Yeah, this September has been a struggle. Struggle for us too, because you know we're not in pogie land, and that's pretty much what the bay bite's been. It's been, you know, pogies down the bay, random fish,
watery fishing,
really no. Good spot. You kind of just have to be down in there, and we have no pogies within 15 miles. Oh, yeah, pretty much within 15 miles from us. We got to go either down into Duxbury from Scituate,
yep.
Or we got to go up into Hingham, or we got to go all the way to P-Town.
Yep.
So we've been getting pogies from guys and fishing a few days, but I'm looking forward to getting back to the bank and
bread and butter
fishing max, because I'm sure the herring are probably gone by now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah, it's going to be an interesting...
July and August was absurdly good. It's like the best July and August. Almost as good as in August as last year.
Yeah.
July was way better than last year. And this September has been way worse than last year. As far as, you know, us getting on fish and being able to consistently get on fish.
That moon's also later. That harvest moon's also later. And last year, it was good. It was really good here. Was it right after that moon? Because it was right when I got up north.
I loved it. It was as good. Yeah. From like the last week of August all the way through September was pretty much good every day.
Yeah.
So
it was also different pressure wise too, though, because, you know, we're done fishing that the September quota was like maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So there was, you know, 2 weeks of not a lot of pressure, which makes a huge difference.
Right.
You know, and this year it's, you know, very much spread out with the open and close days and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen next year.
Yeah.
They'll probably do open and close days again, and the buyers will just dictate all of it. Hmm. I think it's working on their end. We're not seeing any price difference.
Yeah.
But I think if they were to just open it up, it probably would be flooded, and then we would see a price difference.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
Yeah, it's
would you say it hurts us more now than it would earlier, like in past years? I feel like getting out
there... The off and on's tough, because... There's days that are great, and there's days that are so inundated with boats you can't even fish.
Yeah, like,
you know, there's going to be 10 bites, and there's 100 boats. Either way, and then there's going to be 10 bites, and there's going to be 5 boats the next day.
Yeah,
and that's how it was. I think I went out with you like early August, and it was not a boat in sight. Unreal. We got like 3 fish, and then the next day I had a trip with Mike, and we go to our normal stomping grounds.
Yeah.
And I think there's at least 4 boats in our little area we've been going every day. It's been tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can't really sit where you want.
Oh, no. It's like...
It'll be better this time of year, though, because...
Weeds out some boats.
Weeds out a lot of boats, a lot of smaller boats, people that, you know... I'll call it how it is. You know, college kids that are... Or whoever that are back in school that aren't fishing and...
Right.
You know, definitely thins out the crowd a little bit, but...
You know, online though, they can be on that bank with a nice little Zoom call going.
I know.
It's been the case a few times.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
In the bay. That's why a lot of guys are fishing the bay, because they got so much.
Yeah.
They can basically work from the bay.
Yep, and fish and stare balloons.
Not a bad day at work.
No, not a bad day at work at all. Not a bad day at work at all. But, I don't know, bottom line is hopefully we'll see what happens starting tomorrow. Now that the wind's laying down a bit, and hopefully
I'm chomping at the bit.
Rhythm. I know I am too.
Ready to go. Ready to kill.
5 days off has been a lot.
Mm-hmm. We could have went today. We could have left at like 8.
Yeah.
I heard it was gnarly this morning.
Yeah.
The ocean was quite ferocious last night.
Mm-hmm. But I guess it's grease calm all afternoon. That's fine. Whatever. Go tomorrow. See what happens.
That's all you can do.
What's our next podcast going to be about?
It's a good question. You know,
maybe what we're going to do over the winter. And
yeah, I mean, we have a really good guest. We have a good guest list written out. You know, we know we've been lacking on content a bit, but it's been hard to balance fishing and this. So we've been trying to squeak these in on blow days, and we're definitely slowing down a little bit. And we will because of weather. So I'd like to get some return people back on here, you know, and talk a little bit more detail about their fishery and get some fresh guests on too. Last question of the day, since summer's over, what was your favorite day?
Jeez.
If you had to pick one day, doesn't necessarily have to be a charter.
Favorite day?
Every day was a charter.
I know. I'm just saying, if we happen to have a day that wasn't.
I would have to say it would be I have multi-species favorite days. Can I do that?
Absolutely. Do whatever you want.
Is that allowed?
It's always allowed.
I would have to say our best day catching like probably 15 to 20 just beasts of bass up north off of Boston on top water. It's just the sexiest thing you can do. It is. There's nothing compared to it. Mm-hmm. And then either, yeah, I'd have to say either that day we had the people from New York and we got
the real big one
or the four fish. I mean, quality versus, they were all pretty quality fish for that quantity day, but yeah. I mean, that was my biggest fish on a boat in my life, so let's call it that. Yeah.
It's always good. You can't
115.
I'm like, is he just going to tell us the 115 injury? No,
I had a lot of great days. I mean,
yeah.
As weird as it is, like, yeah, I was a big fish, but I was kind of like, okay, on to the next, which is sad to think. It's not a good way to think.
Well, but you know, it's not going to be your biggest fish because you have so
God, I hope not. Yeah. I need a goddamn sea monster soon.
It won't be.
But yeah, it was good.
I hope that's not the biggest fish.
No.
Is that your biggest?
That is our biggest.
That's the biggest killed.
Is it a G-Rander?
That's a 1,000-pounder, yeah. Yep.
What did it dress at?
It's 935.
Killed and gutted.
That'll do. Yeah, that'll do ya.
That was a doozy.
So basically, yours was 785 killed and gutted, right?
Bubba's looking good in that picture.
I know.
Yeah.
He's such a beast.
He is a big boy.
Big fella.
I think my favorite day is probably the Dave Good day.
Yeah, that was a good day.
We broke the handle and had a couple bites, and then the engine wouldn't start. We started with a screwdriver.
Yeah. It's always rough. Fun when shit goes south.
Actually, you know
sometimes. Sometimes it blows.
I think one of the best days, unfortunately, you weren't on the boat this day because you were in the canyons, but I think one of the best days this year was our charter didn't show up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
My
dad and I just went out. We left at like 6 o'clock because we waited like extra long for the charter. We were supposed to leave at 4. We just went to Middle Bank, and actually we went like pretty south of Middle Bank and fished there till like 11. We were like, oh, let's just go up, you know, a little closer to Middle Bank and just do like a drift and see what's going on up there and then head home. And that's what we did. We went up there and just did like a drift.
Did like a drift. Sometimes that's all it takes.
All it takes, a little drift. And, We were 5 minutes from reeling lines and going home. He said 5 minutes, and the far floater, like, fish ate the far floater as I was switching rods, actually. They were, like, over each other, and it ate it while I was in my hands.
Hold on tight.
Without the clicker on. And I'm like, we're on. And he's like, where? And he's like, running around in circles. I'm like, no. I'm like, as I'm trying to get it in the holder, because the clicker wasn't on. It was just, you know, rifling line off the reel. And, I fought it for like 2 hours, surfaced the entire time. It's tail wrapped for over an hour of it. And then finally did like a half-assed, I wouldn't even call it a pinwheel, did like a oopsie mistake away from the boat. The leader was just in the tip. So it was a solid 20 feet out, threw the dart, like got him in the back as he was doing like this black back move.
Achilles.
And he took off like 20, 30 feet. He did like 3 pinwheels, and then we pulled the hook. And then I was backing down on him while fighting him on the dart. My dad was getting the other harpoon. And long story short, he got the harpoon ready. Took him a little while, but he got it ready. And, you know, we thought for sure we were just going to pull the dart. I went like man drag on him. Basically, I put as much drag as I thought it would be, like, leadering a fish. Would I be comfortable with leadering a fish before it would break my hands? And eventually, he came up, and we were shocked, and we got another harpoon, like, in his head. And that was a big fish. We got only, like, $2 a pound for it, but that was an epic day. Grease calm.
That's the best.
105-incher. Broke him up, you know, pulled the hook, and then fought him with a dart for 45 minutes.
That's a mean one.
It was an angry fish. Yeah. And then the next day, we watched Jeff DePersia do the exact same thing. Got into pinwheels after like 2 hours, stuck them, chafed them off, and then they fought him with a dart for like an hour solid, right next to us, like 100 yards from us.
Ugh.
And eventually got him up and got him.
We had a big eye like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we did with Matt's boat. I darted him. Literally, like, he must have coughed. as I threw the harpoon went like in his open gill plates and like out like his like mouth or like didn't even go out.
Yeah.
So the harpoon stopped. I'm like, don't, my God, I'm going to go to heave back on it. And the whole thing just comes back to me and he's bleeding. And then the fish like comes out on a fucking pinwheel and is like laying on the surface like 30 feet away. And we backed up to him. And then literally as I'm throwing the harpoon again, the hook pulled and we got it. It wasn't a very big one. It was probably like a buck 50, but
yeah.
It was just one of those weird fish.
Just a story fish.
Yeah, it was a story fish.
Good video of that, actually.
What was your favorite day?
My favorite day?
Squid was a sick day.
Which one? That big fish?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good day.
We got a couple fish on squid this year.
We did.
Probably like...
a couple big ones.
Probably like 5 bites on squid this year.
Yeah. I mean... I don't know if I talked about it before, but that same trip, I mean, when you got that big fish and I was in the canyon, that was a really good canyon trip.
Yeah.
Like 3 whites, a sword, bunch of yellowfin, a big eye, long fin. It was just a solid trip. But the doubling up on whites was pretty cool to see like a young, So one of the, that boat, well, Pescaria that I fish on, that Freeman in the big game battle, we had a white marlin like, you know, eat the short rigger, hung himself on a lure. And then 14-year-old Manny, the, you know, owner of the boat, basically pitched another one on like the Talica, like an absolute pro. Yeah. That was awesome. That was cool to watch. That was just like one of those, like having 2 marlin jump, like granted they're whites and stuff. And you know, one's on a freaking big lure. So it wasn't super fun. You know, from a fight perspective, but that whole, like, that whole process of it happening.
Wasn't it like pouring rain and shit? Yeah, too? Dude. It was like just crazy, like, weather.
It was just like a crazy, crazy trip. A lot of fun. It was, the weather conditions weren't optimal for a center console.
Yeah.
But the fishing was so good that you didn't care, really. Yeah. And honestly, and we've talked about this a million times, we've had some interactions this season that weren't, you know, super friendly, I would say. But that trip, you know, granted it wasn't the bank and wasn't our like bread and butter fishery. I only do a couple of canyon trips a year, but that trip in particular, I've never seen, other than like Canada, seen that many guys like help each other out.
Yeah.
You know, like everyone, it was a tournament, but everyone was friendly, cordial. I mean, Christ, people, we're having a great trip and everyone else was having a great trip, but it was raining the whole time. We're on a center console and guys were giving us food and stuff, you know, hot food, hot meals in between. I don't know. It was aside from the fishing, it was just a cool trip. It's not very often we're in the canyons. You get to like pull up to each other and like shoot the shit. Right. And like
social interaction.
It's always competition. It's like we're 120 miles offshore, stern to stern, just like having dinner, chilling, shooting the shit. You know, it was sometimes that stuff is great, you know. So
that's sometimes my favorite.
Johnny Galvin back on this.
I know.
He sounds like a funny dude.
He is a funny guy. Super fishy dude. Very smart.
Crazy
doing
professional.
It a long time. Mm. Yeah, he's a. I like him a lot. We've had a good relationship with him over the years.
Sometimes those experiences are like the best things about fishing. Sometimes. You know what I mean?
Honestly, like if you.
Big fish are cool, but like the people.
Yeah, no, the people make it.
The food, like the little things, you know.
You know, I like the food.
Oh, one. Did we talk about Heartbreaker? Dreambreaker? Dream Killer? Did we tell that story?
Yeah, we did. I think the throw up people. Yeah, we have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dude, the amount of pukers on the boat has skyrocketed. Dude, tripled
this year. Lots of pukers.
The number of pukers this year.
We had. It was a group of international students. I believe they studied grad, whatever, at BU. And they were very nice. A little cold.
Riley, what are you trying to eat?
There's someone delivering something, so he's like...
Riley, the attack lab.
The attack lab.
You sound so angry, Riley.
Hey, Rye.
I think someone... I don't know. Blue dress, maybe. Anyway. Yeah, I was like, okay, we're out here. We're out in the bank. Life is good. I'm happy. I'm in my spot. I'm happy to be where I am right now in life. And one of our clients just goes down to the gunnel and starts letting it fly. I'm like, okay, that sucks. Here's a, we keep like little wristbands in the boat for him.
Yeah.
So I'm like, here's the wristbands.
Placebo effect.
We have like four wristbands, like pairs of wristbands, but we ran out.
What, do they take them?
No, we didn't have any more to give out. I mean, yeah. It was just so...
Oh, we ran out on that day. On the day. I think it like overall in the season.
No. Actually, we did run out of others and we had to get more because people ran away with them. But yeah, I think five out of six were over the gunnel, just letting it rip. And I mean, granted, they did start their day off with cigs and a few Big Macs each.
Really?
Yeah. they didn't know what they were getting themselves into. They wanted to keep catching bait. And I'm like, all right, well, it was that day we had to like troll back.
Oh yeah.
And we went in.
That was rough.
It was rough, but like, was it that bad? No. Yeah. No. I mean, for us, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was like a bad day. That was a frustrating day for me. We had to go back in and
it was frustrating for everybody. I mean, we were trying to catch cod at the end of the day in like 5-footers.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Screw that, man.
We limited out, but it took like 3 hours and
yeah,
all inshore cod.
Yeah, we had to like
weird to catch and kill cod nowadays.
Yeah,
we had to go drop off two of them. They scurried off the boat. That was great. And took the rest in the river with the livies we got and crushed some bass. So nice. Sour day. Yeah, they had a decently good trip, but.
At the end of the day, most people just want to catch shit.
That's all they wanted.
Don't really care.
The people, they're like, oh, I just want to catch something. I'm like, well, you shouldn't have gone tuna fishing.
Yeah.
that's your first mistake, pal. But yeah, I mean, just trying. And that's also what I like about Mike. He, like, no matter what, he'll
tries
do.
To make him happy.
Oh, no matter, like,
that's
just what, make people
that's
comfortable.
How you get more charters.
Yeah. Like, make people comfortable, do everything to what they want, and. That's that. I mean, he doesn't care.
A lot of guys are like pride hungry and, oh, we're going to tuna fish, you know, even though like if we get charters that come down to the boat and they want meat.
Yeah.
As much as if the tuna bite was red hot the day before, it's like, yeah, throw a tuna rod out in a haddock spot and catch haddock. Like it's not worth at the end of the day having miserable clients all day because you're trying to catch a tuna.
No.
You know, when you really should be just bending the rod and not caring.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I love haddock fishing, by the way.
It is fun doing it every once in a while. I'm not a fan of like every day the grind of 90 to 100 something fish.
Yeah. That last statement was actually completely sarcastic.
Those days in July.
I like doing it like random days.
The days in July and August when the tuna fishing was good, like
grab a those dozen mornings, or 2 dozen.
Or even like, on the way home. You know, you either get your bite or you don't by 11 o'clock and then grab a couple haddock on the way home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another thing with that too, and like expectations, bend on the rod, catching fish, we want meat, is it's also up to you to set the expectations.
Right.
You know? Like, there's this fine balance between, like, you know, we want meat, we want to catch this, that, and the other, but we also want to catch a tuna. You got to lay it out on the line for them. It's like, it's one or the other,
right.
Or we can go to where there aren't really a lot of tuna fish and, you know, try to bottom
maybe
fish.
Maybe get lucky.
Yeah, maybe get lucky. So, just honest with them in the morning, and, you know, we've caught a million bottom fish, so it's boring for us, but... It is boring. Most people that don't fish a lot, they do it. They're like, all right, I've caught like two of these. I'm done.
By 10 o'clock, they're bored. Yeah. You know,
so it's like, do you really tell them? I mean, I tell people all the time, the mackerel fight harder than the haddock. So if you just want to catch something, you don't care about meat.
Get it on a trout rod with a nice little diamond jig.
You know, do that actually. Bring some real light.
Yeah.
Like 2 pound test.
They do that.
Ice fishing rods.
Jamie does
that.
They
do in Canada.
Yeah, up in Canada, you know, past the time.
Yeah.
Sounds stupid for everyone that tuna fishes a lot, but, you know, when you're getting charters from all over the place that don't fish, it makes a huge difference.
I've been doing that little trick when I went fishing with you guys, and you put a big snap swivel through the eye of like a dead Mac.
Oh, yeah. I fed it to the penguins.
They ate that up.
The chum penguins?
Yeah. The chum penguins.
Feed it to the seagulls.
Yeah.
Catching the same seagull over and over again is a blast.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a couple good seagull adventures.
Yeah, that's, I'm curious. Cool. What's your like go-to passing time tuna fishing activity? God.
Passing time tuna fishing activity?
Mine is either fly hunting or like something of that nature.
Yeah, chum fly hunting is definitely up there, especially if you have the bug assault, which we do on our boat. Grilling. Grilling's also another one.
Grilling's that I enjoy. Fantastic.
We've grilled up quite a few fish this year. Sausage fire fish.
Yeah.
We always keep decks of cards and stuff in the boat for people. You know, we've had some pretty rowdy poker games going on before. Oh, man. You know, and just, I mean, when you have someone like OG or you've been fishing with him long enough,
you don't need anything but him,
and you've memorized all his jokes. I mean, it's pretty easy to keep the conversation flowing. So I mean, that's really the biggest thing, you telling stories, joking around, but you can't really tell a whole lot of fish stories on a slow day.
No, because then it's like, okay, where's mine?
Exactly.
That's why I refrain.
But you can kind of figure out your client, you know, if they fish all over the place and they have, you know, they've seen some cool stuff, then you can kind of let it rip and it helps out with the day for sure. But yeah, we're talking about what we do to pass the time with clients, because
I usually talk about like how nice it is and
yeah,
such a relaxing day and the weather's nice and, you know, it's like a day on the beach, but maybe catch a big 1,000-pound tuna.
Exactly.
You know, because that's what it is for some, especially like corporate people I've noticed is just,
they just want to drink their Bloody Marys.
They just want to drink, have a few drinks and just chill and
unplug.
Maybe get a bite.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A lot of guys don't even want to work. You know, they don't want to haddock fish or
no
striper fish. They don't want to have to sit there with a rod in their hands. They want to come home with the biggest fish in the ocean and show their Facebook friends.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's the world we live in now. It's crazy.
Yep. Social media.
Well, that was good, boys.
That was wonderful. That?
We got like a solid hour and a half there.
I'd be able to do part one, part two.
I think so. I think I'll have to trim out a little bit in the beginning.
The boring part?
Yeah.
There's a couple boring conversations.
You think so, but then once you hear it, it usually flows a lot better than you thought, you know? But anything else? Anything else we want to discuss?
Size large t-shirts. When is that getting on the market?
Hey, if you want to do size large under Seabros, let's do it.
I think that could be quite the product.
I like it.
If you want to just do it and we'll help you promote it,
I think so too. Yeah.
If you guys think we should do size large shirts, follow. What's your size? First off, how do people find out about you, Connor? What's your Instagram?
I have two Instagrams, two phones too. So you can find me at Connor Charles Doherty on Instagram, spelt the Irish way with one N. And then, yeah, look me up.
But if you want to see what his size large, I mean, it's kind of a little bit, I mean, I have to say it started with Jason Stock.
I never knew.
You never knew, but we did say it a few times, but you've definitely brought it as a...
Oh, yeah, you're like the New England size large guy.
Yeah. I got to trademark that. A lot of people are saying it now, which is kind of funny to see because like people I've seen in New Hampshire do it. I've seen people on the Cape do it.
Oh yeah.
So it's funny to see, but
I love it.
It's a stupid little thing I do for clients and they're like, oh, size large.
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to see it, check out Connor online. And if you think we should do shirts, let us know. I think they'd sell like hotcakes.
Hot flapjacks.
Hot flapjacks.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it, boys. Just remember, you can't catch them if you don't have a hook in the water. Always trust your instincts. And the last rule of OG is...
I might have to add one more rule.
All right, let's hear the rule.
It might be a new one. Never bring a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah, ever. Never bring a knife ever. To a gunfight. I like that one. Sometimes it's fun, though.
Yeah, but not... No. Not at that certain point, hell no.
Everyone's been there. Do it long enough. The last one, the actual last one, you'll have to keep listening. Stay tight. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Seabros Fishing Podcast. We just want to go ahead and say we apologize for the lack of content over the last few months. We really got busy with charters throughout September and October and even into November. We
We're going to get back on the train, though. We have a lot of good guests lined up for our off season. We're going to try to pump out full episodes weekly and also fill the gaps with some rigging station and some shorter episodes just to catch us back up to speed here. If you're interested in listening to previous episodes of the podcast, check out seabrosfishing.com. Right there on the front page, link to the podcast. You can search all of our old episodes there. We have a lot of great guests, and we're going to have a lot of them actually return in this off season through 2020 into 2021 as well. On the Seabros website, you can also find apparel. We have the Fishmark hats there. If you're looking to get someone a gift for the holidays coming up, there's some good options there. If you caught a nice fish over the 2020 season and you want to get the tail mounted or in taxidermy, we also offer that service. So check all that stuff out on the Seabros Fishing website. Also check out the Mass Bay Guides website. If you're interested in booking a charter for 2021, do not hesitate to call the office and get on the books. We already have a calendar that's filling up quickly here. There was a lot of demand this year, and with the way the tuna fishing's been, we don't really see that changing. So if you're interested in booking a trip, make sure you give us a call and get on the books. If you want to follow us on social media, just follow Seabros Fishing on Instagram, Facebook, Mass Bay Guides on Instagram, Facebook, or Taylor or myself's personal social media pages, MBG Brian with a Y or MBG Taylor. We love talking fishing. Shoot us a direct message. We love meeting new people, fellow fishermen, captains, mates. If you have any ideas for podcast guests or any questions, we're definitely going to do a few Q&A episodes as well. Definitely reach out to us there. Until the next episode, stay tight, everybody. Thanks.